There we go.
This little light of mine, you know that I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, and I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, you know that I'm gonna let it shine. Gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You know that everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, and everywhere I go, you know that I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine, gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen, amen.
John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus writes, or the word writes, then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for yet again what another opportunity to be able to come before your presence, to hear another portion of your word, to be able to eat from your book, Lord, that we might gain spiritual substance for our souls. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that as our brother Mark shared earlier, that you don't depend upon our greatness, our works, in order to qualify us for you, Lord, but that we would submit to you as our Lord and King, that we would recognize your greatness, that we would follow you, and because of following you and surrendering to you, Lord, that you then may make us righteous because of your grace, because of your mercy, because of your love, because of your power. Thank you, Lord, as recipients of this grace, of this mercy, of this love, to now, as we recognize what greater gift we have received, Lord, to be able to give back to you as a result of all you've given to us. Bless this time we have together in your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and we ask all things. Amen. John chapter 8, we're going to continue our series on looking at the I am statements of Jesus. Last week, we looked at Jesus as being that substance for us, the bread of life. And today we're looking at John 8, 12, where he says, I am the light of the world. The setting of this was during the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Jews would gather together, and they would have a seven-day feast, and they would also, there was a lot of pageantry involved in it, and there was some symbolism there with them making these shelters, these temporary shelters, reminding them of their time in the wilderness, of Jesus, of God providing for their every need, his protection and sustenance. And so, as we talked on last week, these I am statements are important, because what Jesus is also doing is playing on this word of the I am, not playing on it, but declaring, revealing to all men that Jesus is the same as the I am that was spoken to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, that Jesus is divinity, Jesus is divine, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King, and Jesus is Messiah. And we see that with this I am statement. Now, this comes on the heels of sin. If you look at John chapter 7, and then you look, I'm sorry. Am I in the right spot here? Oh, I'm trying to take you to another chapter. It's in the same chapter in John chapter 8. This comes on the heels of the woman caught in adultery. And if you remember the story of Jesus dealing with this woman caught in adultery, they bring this woman to Jesus and ask him to rule judgment over this. What should be done to this woman? The law says one thing. The law says kill them. The law says condemn them. And Jesus does something completely and drastically different. He says, let you who have no sin do what? Cast the first stone. And then it says that Jesus got down on the ground and started writing something. And there's a lot of speculation as to what Jesus was writing. Maybe he was writing specific sins of those that would come and bring judgment. Maybe he was, you know, writing something. But whatever it was that Jesus wrote, whatever it was that was happening right there, the stench of sin was still there when Jesus comes and makes this statement about being the light of the world. And the importance of that is that Jesus isn't just a light. Jesus, it doesn't give a little illumination. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I've come to give you a light in the darkest of places. You know, thinking about everything that we see on this world. We were talking about this in our class this morning. When you look at the news and the TV and newspapers, all you see is darkness. I mean, and it often feels as if darkness is highlighted. It's the very thing when you wake up in the morning, you turn the news on and you hear about all the killings that happened. You hear about all the problems that happened, the storms that came, and all of the darkness that happens in this world. And that's the world that we live in, a world that has darkness, that glorifies darkness, that talks about darkness. And yet in the midst of all this darkness, we see there's hope. Yet in this same world. And beyond. I'm thinking of David. If you remember, David was proclaimed to be king, but he wouldn't take that kingship until years later. And yet, while that was happening, there was a great struggle that was happening. Saul, who was the reigning king at the time, saw David as a great threat. And so he threatened his life. He tried to kill David. And David eventually ran out the palace, ran from all of the protection that he had. And we remember finding him in this cave, this dark cave called Adullam. And David penned beautiful psalms while he was there in this darkness, one of which we see in Psalm 142. He says, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have already a secret snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there's no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. You know, you can kind of see David in this cave right now, and you see the doom and the gloom and the darkness that is surrounding him. Not only the climate of the cave itself, but within his own mind, within his own heart. There's darkness that's there. He's seeing the those that are after him. He's seeing the persecution that he's going, and he's recalling all of those things in his mind. And the more we think on the darkness, the more we embrace the darkness, the darker it begins to get. And yet, he says in verse 7, he equates it to being in prison. He says, bring my soul out of prison that I might praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. If you know the story of David, as David was in that dark place, as he was there isolated from others, as he was running away for his own life, there was a glimmer of hope that happened when all the his brethren came to him and met him there at that cave. And that source of strength of having others right there in your present circumstance, in your crisis right there to say, it's going to be okay, we're with you. See, he felt alone, he felt dark, and yet the light came on, and he saw hope. Many of us have lived our lives like that. The darkness of decision we made to start following after Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, our whole life takes new form. We got new purpose. We've got a new identity. We've got a new Savior. We've got new direction, and now we've been given the light. And the beautiful thing is, he's saying, look, I'm not just the light of the Jews. I'm not just the light for some. I'm the light of the world. We remember that Jesus made the statement, or the word shares with us in John 3, 16, what? God so what? Loved the world that he gave. He loved the what? The world. Not just a select few people. He loved the world. Now, that doesn't mean the whole world is going to embrace what he's giving out, but it's saying he's giving it out for all. There's no partiality in this. He's giving it out for the world, and he's saying to the world, look, all of you have the solution, and that solution is found in Jesus. God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the guiding light. But then Jesus also promises his light to be with us. You know, just last week, 2 weeks ago, Patty called. Remember all the storms were going around? And Patty called me and goes, make sure you have all your phones, your cell phones charged up, because there's going to be some power outages. And there were no power outages in my at my way, but I know some of you did. Matter of fact, I think I was on the phone with Linda, and she was telling me how she lost power in their development and all that. So the admonition, the encouragement was true. Look, I mean, it was also funny that she wasn't saying get candles. You remember we used to go get candles? Or a flashlight with D batteries. It goes to show us how far we've come now. Make sure your phone is charged up. Amen. Amen. But the idea is still the same. You've got to be prepared for the darkness. And the only thing that helps prepare you for darkness is light. The only thing that's going to dispel the darkness is light. And Jesus is saying the only solution we have is Jesus as the light of the world. For the world in itself is darkness. Is darkness. And the darker you're in it, the darker it continues to look. But he says, look, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So what we need to do is walk in the light, follow the light, live in the light. Rejoice in light, desire light. That's what we desire to do, not to walk in darkness anymore, to get past those and you know what happens in darkness, right? Come on now. When I was in the Navy, and they would have to brief us every time we came into a port, and they look, these are the areas you can go. These are the areas where you ought to stay away from. And especially these areas, when it gets dark, you make sure you're far, far, far away from there. But you know what happened? Y'all know what happened, right? Y'all do know what happened, right? Men love darkness more than they love light. Come on now. And so you would see people, this is really serious. I would see people that would go there, and I'm not saying I never went there, you know, but but you would see others that went there and got jammed up. I've seen some people get arrested because they were in the darkness rather than light. They were in the forbidden zones and all that. And eventually all that starts to catch up. Men love darkness, but Jesus is offering you light. He's offering us to continue and follow after him. And I guess it's a great plug. Remember the WWJD? That would kind of help us a whole lot. What would Jesus do? If you're wondering whether this is light or darkness, ask yourself that question. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus be here? Would Jesus be engaging? Would Jesus say that? Would Jesus act that way? Amen. What would Jesus do? And that ought to help us to at least clearly identify whether we're walking in light or darkness. Secondly, we possess the light of life. He says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, having a phone that isn't charged, thank you, Patty, I did charge it. But having the phone that isn't charged, what good is it going to do? Having the flashlight and the batteries are old and, you know, no longer charged, it's not going to help us. But when you've got the light and the light is functioning and the light is illuminating and the light is doing what light does, then it's of great benefit to you when you're walking in darkness. That's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Right? I have illumination in these dark areas, in these dark times, in these dark moments. I still have illumination. Why? Because you are with me. You're carrying me through these moments, Lord. You're walking with me even through these dark valleys. Because you're with me, that gives me great comfort. That helps me in my walk. That helps me to get past this dark season. He promises us this light. And then, as we sang that song, this little light of mine. Lastly, we're to be reflectors of that light. Reflectors of that light. Projecting Jesus. Think of these projections right now. And all of it, all it's doing is projecting light to make it visible so you can see these images here. And that's what we are. We're to be projecting Jesus Christ, the substance of who Jesus Christ is, so that they can see the image. But the image that they ought to see is not our image, but his. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Jesus comes to give us hope, give us direction, to illuminate our path. And he gives that to us, not just so we can now bask in the light. And you know how we do, put the suntan oil on and just receive the lights. All right, now that's enough on that side. Now on this side. And we just take it in and it's beautiful and it's warm and it's illuminating and that's wonderful for you. But he wants us to be reflectors of that light, not just those that receive and enjoy it. He's calling us to tell others about how great God has been in your life. And you know what happens? That there's a great power in that testimony. There's a great power, as Brother Mike was sharing earlier about Jesus and that woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. And Jesus spoke to her some profound things that caused her to go back to town and tell others of this man named Jesus. Could he be the Messiah? Look, I don't think that's a doubt in any of our minds anymore. He is Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is our Lord and King. But as surely as you believe that, there's a world out here still in darkness. There were so many out there that still have yet to come to that same realization that you just take for granted, that you and I take for granted. They need to know. They're walking in darkness. The same type of darkness that we used to have. I'll just say for myself, the same darkness I had. There were times where I was just so confused, especially spiritually speaking. What am I supposed to do? As Brother Mark said, I'm going to keep referring to him because he did talk a lot. And so I'm gonna use some of the stuff he talked about. But I forgot what I was going to say now. But the key is that we're receiving, you know, what God is. But I'm trying to fix it and I can't, so I'm gonna keep moving on. Here's the key. The key is the Lord came. We've been in this darkness. We've been in this place, and we've been so confused. I've been so confused. And yet, in just a few moments, I remember somebody sitting down with me and opening the Bible, and my confusion started clearing up as someone started guiding me, and someone started helping me, and someone started expounding the scriptures, and I just started going, whoa. I mean, and I don't know if you remember that when scripture was exciting. I hope it still is. But when it was exciting, when you heard it like for the first time, and you're just like, what? I've never heard nothing like that before. And you're sitting there, and just trying to figure out, you know, where all this stuff, how it all matches up and all that. How many of y'all like getting new information? Yeah. Good truth. Amen. Those deep truths. Amen. Love them. But for what? I mean, how many of y'all love to eat good food? Amen, amen. But you know what? If I take all these good calories in and don't expend them, what happens? Don't look. We're receiving all of this goodness, all the truth, all the love, all the light. But it's not just for us to consume upon ourselves. It's for us to share with others. It's for us to be reflectors of that light, for us to point others to Jesus Christ. By our good works, we glorify our Father in heaven. We are that city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. We are glorifying God with what we do and how we do it. People are wondering, you know, what's different about those at Green Bank? What's different about brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so? What? And that gives you that moment, that shouting moment, to be able to say, look, it's not me. It's all about him. And let me tell you about this man from Galilee. Let me share with you a story and how he changed my life and how he can change yours. Let's be reflectors of the light of Jesus in all that we do. How do we do that? Have a genuine first relationship with Jesus Christ yourself. Mirror his character. As I was saying earlier, ask that great question, WWJD, would Jesus do this? Would Jesus walk here? Would Jesus act that way? Would Jesus say this? Would Jesus, et cetera, et cetera? Whatever, fill it in. Be a reflector, and then look for those opportunities to share Jesus with others. That's how you can be a reflector of Jesus Christ. Maybe someone here is ready to receive Jesus as Lord, as King, ready to do what our dear brother did on last week and decide, look, I'm surrendering all to Jesus Christ. I'm giving my life over to him. There's still room. Heaven still has room. There's salvation possible still even today. Maybe there's someone this morning who's ready, and you know this is your day. This is your day of illumination. This is your day of being free. This is your day of liberty to be free from the bondage of sin. Why not put your faith in Jesus Christ even this morning, even right now? Take that stand and come forward. And I know it's uncomfortable sometimes. Look at all the people that are watching and all of that. But guess what? Jesus had to make that march, that lonely march with a cross and holding the very beam that he would be hanged upon. And he had to do that all publicly. There were people spitting in his face and cursing at him and doing all of that. Publicly, he made this humiliating walk up and then was hoisted up onto that cross. Publicly despised, publicly shamed. 30 steps in front of people who love you, who are cheering and supporting you. The comparison isn't even there, is it? Are you ready to put Jesus on in baptism today? If you're ready, Jesus is ready to receive you. We're ready to receive you. The angels in heaven are ready to rejoice in one that's come to the Lord. Are you ready to make that march this morning? If you are, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing that song of invitation?
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all, to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. We're singing, I surrender
Keep you. Pray something was said to give you strength and encouragement in your walk. And now I turn it back over to Brother George.
Did you notice how nervous I made him? Little flick of this thumb up here.